Hey, KFC Radio listeners, you can find every episode of KFC Radio on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What if the golf ball you're playing isn't the number one ball for you? Meet the all-new TP5 and TP5X from TaylorMade. Whether you prefer the softest five-layer tour ball in the TP5 or the fastest, that's now a half a club longer, in TP5X, you'll be playing a golf ball that performs like it was built just for you. Available in white, yellow, and picks, you can personalize it with my symbol. No matter which you choose, every TP5, TP5X is designed to help your game. Head to TaylorMadeGolf.com today to find the number one ball for you.
Hey, what's going on there, pal?
We saw you at the hockey game on.
Do I know you guys?
I'm Ryan Whitney. I got a drink named after me.
Not a big deal.
Pink Whitney? That's what I thought. See you, fellas.
I invented the thing, you pigeon.
Pink Whitney for legendary moments.
Get there.
This is what
Get
we do there. All the conditioning for.
Get your eyes
this
closed.
This is why we do those suicides. This is why we do Hermes. Come on.
I lost.
It's another edition. It's the final edition of KFC Radio for the year 2020.
I've been thinking about it now that we're recording. I'm going to make a request because there's a Barstool happy hour happening right now, and I feel left out.
Oh, that's right.
Nick, could you go get us two drinks, please?
Oh, a couple bevies?
Yeah.
A couple bevies?
I mean,
maybe,
everyone's having a good time having some cocktails. Yeah. I want a cocktail.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Yeah. Whatever's easy, grab a Miller or some New Amsterdam, or, you know, make it simple. We're going to have ourselves a time. We're going to have ourselves a day. No guests today, just me and your boy Fights taking you through to wrap up the year. And we got a jam-packed episode. We're also going to take a stroll down memory lane and replay some of the bits from our first episode of the year, which I can assure you, I would imagine.
It's actually crazy. We listened to it. We predicted everything.
Did we?
Yeah, we were.
I didn't listen because I wanted to hear it.
No, I'm kidding. I didn't listen. Oh. But also, like, I was like, we didn't predict a pandemic.
Well, of course we didn't predict a pandemic, but I was wondering if we were going to be incredibly pessimistic or if we were optimistic.
If I had to guess, the seesaw of our emotions tilts towards pessimism.
Bro, there ain't no, there's the sea, there's no saw. My shit is just, I'm the fat kid who's just stuck on the bottom of the fucking seesaw, and there's the little kids hanging from the other side trying to pull it down, and that pessimism ain't giving up, man. All right, so there's a whole slew of shit to get into, but first, I gotta tell you about Martin Shkreli.
Oh, yeah.
As we record this, it's December 21st. Everyone's making their year-end top lists and compilations and rankings and all that shit. This is sneaking in there for one of the best, most ridiculous stories of the year. Now, you know Martin Shkreli. Martin Shkreli was the pharma bro, as they nicknamed him.
But Wu-Tang.
Bought the Wu-Tang album. He made it to the championship of the Barstool Brackets Biggest Villain.
Oh, I see.
So that was funny because I threw him in there because he's a real life person, but he was in the news and he was like this fucking like James Bond villain. So I threw him in there with like the championship was Shooter McGavin versus this guy who gained international infamy because he raised the price of AIDS medicine 5,000%. So he just like came up, he had the patent or he bought it after it expired, whatever it was. And he was like, whoop, jack it up 5,000%, which is something that pharmaceutical companies do every day, by the way.
Yeah.
But the fact that we could now pinpoint this guy, it's usually
one person's decision.
Yeah. Usually it's Pfizer or Merck or, you know, one of these big things that you can't, who knows, but it was like, this asshole is behind that. So, he was the pharma and he just looks, that's the problem. Two things, his name, Shkreli. And the look on his face, the pointy nose, and he's always doing...
He looks like the child catcher.
Yeah, he does, from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And he's got... He does this, like, Portnoy, like, prep school face. Like, he's very, very, you know, just looks like you want to smash his face with a fucking iron. And so he's just, like, the biggest asshole in the world. And he's in jail now. So all that shit happens, which is slimy, but he's allowed to do it. Then it turns out he violates some, like, SEC rules. Thank you, sir. A couple cold Miller Lights here. Cheers, bud.
Cheers.
To 2020. Then he goes to jail. While he's in jail, a girl by the name of Christy Smythe starts to cover him. She works for Bloomberg. She writes an article about him. She actually starts to write like a book about him. She really starts to dive into it. I think she was the one who like first broke the news. And I think she got a ton of attention. And it was she was just like, whoa, this guy, he's got like juice behind him, you know? And she becomes like pen pals with him while he's in jail. And the professional pen pal relationship starts to turn a little more personal. She starts to fall for Martin Shkreli. As she describes it, now this girl, she works for Bloomberg. She's like an accredited journalist, good writer. She has a husband. She dated him for 5 years. She got engaged. They have this beautiful like home in Brooklyn. He works in finance. I imagine she's the creative one and he makes the money and they're married. And as she describes it, because this is something we've all said about our relationships, it was like being boiled alive in a hot tub.
Excuse me?
Where like everything just kind of started to escalate. Like, so I started covering him for work, and then I started to realize, oh, you know what? He's not what they say he is. And then I started to be pen pals with him, and then we started to get closer, and then he invited me for a visit, and then we did this together, and it just kept escalating to the point that she blew up her whole life. Divorced the husband, left the home. She now lives in a basement in Harlem.
What?
Falls head over heels in love with Martin Shkreli. He is wooing her and saying, you know, I'm not this guy. He has her visit. She gets a license because she's a city girl. She goes up to the DMV. That might be the craziest thing this girl did. She signed up to get a license to be able to drive to Pennsylvania where he's imprisoned to visit him.
That is...
She tells the tale, John. She says that the first time they ever, like, had a I guess, not a conjugal visit, but they were visiting. She said the room smelled of chicken wings, and they shared their first kiss. I mean, tale as old as time. Who hasn't fallen in love with an international supervillain, blown up your entire life and career, and visited him in prison and shared a first kiss in a cell that smelled like chicken wings? Who
Dude,
hasn't?
There are times...
I'm not done!
Okay.
He and his lawyer, his legal team, eventually use this as a COVID-19 hits, all this shit. He's like, let me out of prison. I'm, you know, there's COVID and I am engaged to be married. This is my fiance. And so he's like, now, mind you, two other times he has been profiled and investigated and journalists have come. Both times he bought the URL domain name of those girls after they came to visit him. So he bought emilysaul.com. And then he tweeted about it being like, you could buy this
right now.
He
tweeted about it?
I don't know. This was probably before jail. I think he was like in trial, but not in jail yet.
Okay.
And he said, I bought it for $12. You can have it for $12,000 because she's a rising star. He's this dude who gets like obsessed with these women who come to investigate, or not investigate, what's the word? Profile. So he's, you know, we're engaged. She's betrothed to be married, wants out of prison. She blew up her life. Like, the quotes from her are, and it's so cliche. They went to like a Murray Hill bar together before he went to prison. And that was like when she fell in love. I'm like, you are such a fucking puppet. There were quotes from the husband being like, you're ruining your whole life for this fucking asshole. What are you doing? So this article that's profiling her, profiling him, the article that I'm getting all this information from, is now out. He's ghosting her.
Wait. Hang on.
So
he's talking to her?
All the details of her falling in love with him are now public for people like myself to make fun of and for us to discuss. And he's like, peace. Will not respond to anything she's – any letters, anything.
How long
he released a statement. I think it's like yesterday.
Okay.
It's supposed to – it's in the Elle magazine March 2021 issue. But it's like out on the internet already. I was like, you really – I thought, you know, January, February, March is... but it's out. It's out. He released a statement about her. The most generic of statements possible. I wish her best of luck in her future endeavors.
Oh, my
and
God.
And the guy who wrote this article says to her, like, so what do you, what's up with you guys for the future? And she's like, well, like, I just can't wait for him to be out and for us to be together. And he's like,
how long is he supposed to be out in for?
I think he was in. He got 7 years.
Seven,
and I think he's only like maybe a couple into it.
Right.
And he was hoping for COVID, so maybe she's hoping for that. And the guy who wrote this article in Elle magazine, he was interesting too. He was like, I think that this was her attempt to actually have some power in the relationship by putting this article out. And boy, did that backfire, because he's ghosting her. And the guy says to her, he said in the statement, like, best of luck in future endeavors. Like, what do you think that means? And like, she teared up and was like, I suppose it means that our paths are going to fork here. It's like, yeah, bitch. Yeah. I mean,
wait, is there a video interview?
Looney Tunes. No, no. It's all just like an article. She sold her book rights to potentially maybe be a movie about this. So she's got a little bit of money. But like, other than that, nada to show for it. Martin Shkreli, he's out here getting engaged, John. Imagine if you were sitting at home and you're lonely and you can't get a date. You can't get a call back. You're not doing well on Hinge. And Martin Shkreli's got a fucking wife that he is dumping. Well, he's ghosting her.
Martin's in prison. Mm-hmm. Dudes in prison get fucking laid.
They do.
And I didn't mean not it like that. I mean consensually laid as well. Dude, because it's mysterious.
You're
like,
a bad boy.
You're
a bad boy.
I hated Martin Shkreli when he was out. I still hate him, but now I'm like, maybe something to him. Because guess what? I don't understand how you even fall for this guy. Because I've seen him... Not in like not in the media as he's painted as a villain or all that. Like I forget why me and Dan were together, but like I was in the room when he was on Part of My Take.
And I forgot about that
years ago. And like
he was in person or no?
No. Yeah, it was like a Zoom.
Yeah.
I feel like we were in Newport or something.
What
weird.
Did they? How did that go? Did they like?
It was not good. And like not
because that's a guy that I would not, you know, like. What he did was scummy, but not technically illegal or whatever. And a lot of times, like, I've had Logan Paul on. I feel like I try to just, like, show the other side of it sort of thing. I think that's a guy that I would just be like, you're a dick. A dick, dude.
He was trying to be – he was trying to portray himself in a way that would make people think he's interesting.
Yeah.
And he just wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand how – because it wasn't like he was getting railroaded or anything like that. It was part of my thing. It's like
right.
Funny. Like,
and he just basically fucked the pooch on
everyone who comes on that show. Like it's people like him afterwards. And it was just like this dude is there's nothing here.
He is not its
so,
chief.
I don't understand how like you fake. I mean, clearly she's an insane person. That's obvious.
I mean, no doubt.
But the I mean, guess,
literally, anytime you're saying in a good way that you were being boiled alive in a hot tub.
Yeah.
It was like death by 1,000 paper cuts, our love. Like, what the fuck? But yeah, and that's not a guy, you know, but the cannibal cop, he has like a legion of women. And from Charles Manson, Ted Bundy, all these people. But that's different. I don't know. I think there is something sexy about like mass murder. Like, I'm an SEC securities fraud guy. Is like, ugh. Getting my dick hard.
You're just evil.
Yeah, he's just a piece of shit.
Well, like, I think just being evil is
you think there is intrigue there?
I guess it's, an intriguing personality trait.
I also will say, you go through prison and, like, come out, like, you bad. You a baddie, you know?
But he's a white collar, right?
I would imagine he's, like, in middle.
You think middle?
Middle security.
But he broke a white collar crime. How could you put him in regular prison?
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe you're right. I don't know. I could see them, like, not going lenient on him, though. Like, whatever the maximum was allowed, the judge probably like, yeah, let's do that. But, you know, and like, he's made money. You know, he got into his spot by owning a AIDS fucking medication patent or whatever. He's, like, a smart cat. He should just be like, I'm smart. I'm like... I'm a brilliant fucking, I'm a mad scientist genius. Like, I use my smarts to make money. That should just be your brand. Other than, he bought the Wu-Tang album. He's like a rapper sometimes. Like, he's just a fucking asshole.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
I think I'm retiring from the Jets.
Oh, yeah?
I think I am.
I mean...
I will say that I'm definitely... I will definitely retire if they somehow keep Gase. I will retire from the Jets.
That is unfathomable to me. But then again, someone falling from Martin Shkreli was unfathomable to me.
Anything is possible. Yeah. The final yesterday was 23-17, I want to say.
23-20, I think.
23-20 at the end.
23, what, did they kick a field goal?
At some point, yeah, they did.
Yeah, didn't they do that instead?
Yeah, because they scored a touchdown that got called back, and then I think they kicked a field goal, and then they were coming down again. Sean McVay threw the ball deep. Like, so the first half, the Jets played out of their minds, blocking punts, like picking balls off with one hand, Sam Darnold marching. It was insane. But I was like, all right, that's going to stop. And then the second half, the cream rises to the top, and that's exactly what happened. The Rams just started marching. They were running the ball down their throat at will. And then all of a sudden, Sean McVay, on like a final drive, they scored. I was like, that's it. They took the lead. They're never looking back. Gets called back because of a penalty. Whatever. Just keep going back to that. Just keep running it. As long as there's no hold, no penalty, you're fine. Third down, he airs the ball out. Like third and four. I'm like, let's just get this first down, keep the chains moving. Airs it out. Incomplete pass. They're going for it on fourth. I'm like, I don't know about this. They air it out again. Deep ball. Threw it to the running back and the tight end. Two deep balls on third and fourth down with like 4 minutes to go against this team that you're running the ball down their fucking throats. I think they were the ones tanking. And so there goes the dream. That's it. It's over. Now they're both 1-15, the Jags and they're both 1-13, the Jags and the Jets. The Jags, like, decidedly cannot change, have the worst strength of schedule. So they are they win the tiebreaker. I mean, theoretically, could the Bears blow it next week against them? Sure. The Bears are the Bears, too.
Who do the Jets have?
Have the Browns and then the Pats.
See, I mean, you're going to lose to the Browns.
Yeah, like, the Browns are a good team, but the Browns are like the Bears, like, a better version. But both teams have, like, playoff hopes, and they should win, but also they have a history of, like, sucking, you know? So anything could happen, I guess. But, you know, both teams are going to lose out, be 1-15, and then the Jags get Trevor Lawrence. And so that's it.
So fucking
I'm done.
Good.
Dude, that's it. I'm done.
So,
I mean, that's a franchise crippling loss. That changes the next 15 years.
Well, but I mean, you still get like Justin Fields. Justin Fields is very, very, very good. Doesn't matter to you.
Dude, there are good quarterback prospects, and then there are like, can't miss generational guys. Uh-huh. Trevor Lawrence is one of those dudes. I've even started to learn this myself because I don't watch.
I mean, Trevor Lawrence what were the two games against Notre Dame this year? They beat Notre Dame beat Clemson, and the kid played pretty good.
When he was out,
and then they fucking curb stomped Notre Dame.
Yes.
With Trevor Lawrence.
I mean, and that's
was the final week, of that like 50-10.
Every week he just throws like 350 and three touchdowns. Right. It's like he's so good he gets like the LeBron pass almost, where it's like you're talking about Justin Fields because like we can't just keep. We've been talking about Trevor Lawrence since he was like 17.
As you say, since his rookie year, freshman year,
he's lost one game his entire like life. Like through high school, and then it was the Alabama championships. It was a big one, but like he's lost one game like ever since it's mattered.
That Joe Burrow is something like that too.
It's crazy.
Joe Burrow, like his record as a starter is something like.
And so that dude was going to be the chosen one because not only are you hoping that it becomes like a Peyton Manning situation, but more importantly, from Jump Street, even when he was going through growing pains as a rookie, and maybe they're not winning right away, he was going to have respect, and he was going to ball out. Week in and week out, where it's like, all right, the Jets lost this week, but Trevor Lawrence is a bad man. Like, that'll be the storyline. You won't be the butt of everyone's joke. You won't be the punchline because it'll be like, Trevor's coming.
Yeah.
Justin Fields might be, they might not even draft a quarterback now. Maybe they just do stick with Darnold, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. None of it matters. None of it matters. You can draft Justin Fields. Maybe he's okay. He's not Trevor Lawrence. You stick with Sam Darnold. I think that's crazy because I think he's physically and mentally and emotionally broken. And he needs a change of scenery. He'll be like Tannehill. He'll be good somewhere else, but not here. Or you trade the pick, trade down, get a bunch of picks and draft. It doesn't matter.
Football is so crazy that like in 24 hours, your hopes went from, you know, a generational talent to, and let's just trade down.
That's why I'm saying I think I'm done. I just don't think I can do it.
I mean, I think you've been kind of teetering on this edge for a while.
Yes.
I think you jump off.
Couple that with the Mets. Like, if the Mets are going to be good and exciting and relevant and in it, and like seven, eight months of the year, I'm like all excited and the calendar flips and I have to like be this lowly asshole again. The Jets have never done anything for me. The Mets, for whatever reason, still bring me some sort of like excitement. I don't know why, but like the Jets are just misery, and I don't think I want to do it anymore.
I guess. Well, no, because I guess you had the Yankees too. But like, I think part of the Jets is, you know, the 20 years of the Patriots.
Where yeah. It was. How about that? I can't even enjoy that the playoff streak ends. Yeah. Like yesterday should have been a dancing on New England grave while we take another step further to Trevor Lawrence, and instead I nobody's even talking about how the Patriots didn't make it this year.
No, I actually think it's been pretty underwhelming too. But this has been God, I can't think of a good analogy.
You know what it is? It's like getting boiled alive in a hot tub.
That's what I was going to say. That was my joke.
You played it so well, I thought you were actually looking for one. You're a good goddamn actor.
It was like it was exactly like being boiled alive in a hot tub, where it's just like you knew it was coming. Yeah. It was just getting a little warmer and a little warmer. Like I think you called me yesterday and were like, "What's the deal? Like, if they lose or they eliminate them?" I'm like, yeah, but they might be mathematically, but they're eliminated already.
That was the fucking kick in the dick to end it all. I filmed a whole fucking episode doing a Pepe Sylvia conspiracy theory about how Belichick was going to be the one to fuck us on week 17, how he was going to throw the game, and that was going to be the end of the Trevor Lawrence dream. This whole video was great. I'm smoking cigarettes. I'm crazy. Nick's filming it. Yeah, I grabbed a bunch of fucking Zimbabwe cigarettes off of Donnie's desk, and that became totally useless. And then I went home, and I recorded a podcast all by myself. I had no voice. I was sweating. I felt like defeated. I was like, I got to capture this. And my dumb fucking desk at home wobbles. And I had my feet up. And the whole time it was just kind of like, and I just didn't think the mic was picking it up. And it was like the whole time. And so now I have.
What was this podcast going to be on?
I'm going to put it on mail time and just be like, this is.
Like, you're keeping an audio diary?
I might start doing that too. Yeah. Because it felt good getting
Not
it out.
Not a bad idea.
Honestly, that'll be the rantings of a madman one day.
I heard it this morning. That's why when you came in, I'm like, are you okay?
Just yeah, it was bad, right? So Nick went through and tried to work some magic. I think we'll still be able to put it out. But I was like, oh my God, I have like hours worth of work today that is all useless on top of like my misery. But I think I'm just done. I think I'm going to go be like into art or something.
You don't have to pick up with something new. You can just not be a Jets guy.
Just be. But like sports in general. Like what? I guess I just don't watch football. Just I don't care about football.
I think you can stop caring about a team, but continue to watch the sport.
I feel like they do that in the NBA, where it's just like, I just watch Steph
yeah.
Curry.
Oh, yeah, basketball teams are almost going to be obsolete.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like a bunch of players.
Right. It's just be like one-on-one games.
You see Mark Cuban wants to cut the time down?
He wants to what?
Make the game shorter. 40 minutes.
Why not?
Yeah, sure.
Right? Prolong like the careers.
I feel like basketball also doesn't have like the purists.
Where it's like the records are going to, you know.
But I think current players might.
Maybe, but like if I were to, you know, who has the most points scored in NBA history and what number is it? You have no fucking idea, right?
I'm gonna guess it is Kobe. No?
I wanna say I think it's still Kareem, but it might be Carmelo.
Kareem or Will.
But like what's the number? You don't know it.
No,
but
you know
baseball, you know all the numbers, you know the history. If you fuck with, you know,
753?
I think I wanted to say 762 for some reason.
Okay. Somewhere.
But
right
like
750 plus.
But you know, 61, 400.
Oh, I think 753 was the record. I don't know
yeah,
what he finished.
I think he finished in like 760 something. But like, you know, if you were to change the 150 games or something, that fucks with record books a lot. Basketball. And if you told me that like shaving 8 minutes a game off or whatever he wants to do, I bet you that could like prolong careers by like two or three more seasons.
But his argument was that the most popular sports in the world
are
the ones with the least amount of playing time, which doesn't mean, I'm sorry, maybe most popular sports in the country. Because, like, he said soccer last. Like, clearly soccer is not the least popular sport in the world.
But the NFL is 60 minutes.
Right. Yeah, I guess I didn't listen to it. He quote tweeted someone talking about it. And
I think it should just become like 3-on-3 ball.
Yeah.
Like, just fuck the whole thing. Just let's do a dunk contest.
Yeah, the big three, baby.
That's what people like, yeah. So, yeah, I think I'm out. I think I'm out on that. Maybe that'll be my resolution, 2021.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Resolutions?
Yeah.
Yeah, today we're going to do top fives and Am I the Asshole. Jam them both in there. Of course, our voicemails. So we got a lot more to get into.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Breaking news.
Oh boy.
John Mulaney. Rehab. Coke and
no!
What?
Yeah.
Coke and what?
Coke and booze.
Wow. You think that's a pandemic effect, or you think he's always been like that?
I would bet it is pandemic related. I mean, like, everything is pandemic related, right? Whether it's subconscious or not.
Right. But you think that's something like, in the, you know, you just started boozing too much or
He was an alcoholic, so he was sober.
Okay. So that's not that big of a deal then.
No,
I didn't know that. I think of him as like clean comic, clean. You know,
No. He talks about being going to rehab. Not going to rehab, but being sober. But you know what?
What? This should be good. I can hear it in your voice.
I'm kind of like a little bit like he earned it, because when he does the bits, he was an alcoholic at like 16.
Okay,
he was just 16. Like, he's like, I blacked out at parties.
That's
were in fucking high school.
So that means, but, oh, wait, so wait, what are you saying?
I'm saying that, like, that doesn't count.
Being an alcoholic at 16?
Yeah.
I think, well, okay, so I know what you mean.
You can be an
being
a 16-year-old.
So it's either, okay, I think that you're right, it's either it means nothing, or it means, like, everything. You are a bad motherfucker. Yeah. So
and maybe he does have, like, the real dark stories, but. They don't play on
stage. And
what
is he now, like 45?
38.
38. Yep. So let's say, you know, let's call it 18. You had a good 20-year run of being clean. I think, you know, all right, so you had to slip up, get back out there, fix it up, and, you know, get back on the horse.
60-day rehab. That's a legit rehab.
That's probably a pretty sweet vacation, too.
Yeah. You
know? You probably feel great after that, you know? You're like, you know, like everything. Like, you get rid of the booze and the coke, but you're probably like clean living for all of it. You come out of that feeling like you're on top of the world.
Yeah, you're probably on cleanses.
And then
and
you
shit.
Fucking... come out and rehab. You relapse right away. Wow, though. I mean, that's also no better time to do it. Like, I feel like you get, like, what?
The holidays. If you're going to go to rehab, might as well hit it over Christmas.
I meant, like, the Christmas in rehab. That should be the name of, like, a comedy album or something. Christmas in rehab. Just between, like, the long-term vibe right now, but also the short term, like, you'll get so much support and everybody being like, yeah. I mean, you get a bunch of assholes too, but now's the time to do it. Probably, there are probably people who should just announce it just for PR. Like, I need to rehab myself. Like, oh, yeah, you can do it. Nobody's making fun of you anymore, you know? But shit, all right, well, John Mulaney, stand up and admit it, you know? I have breaking news as well. My Hyundai is fixed. I am quite literally Cinderella, and my carriage is turning back into a pumpkin.
How do you mean?
So Hyundai, funny enough, we just had our year-end meeting presentation.
Sure.
And we were talking about all the sponsors and clients we work with. And after everything that went on with Hyundai, we've been in contact with them. And they might potentially become an advertiser in the year coming. So they were... they're taking care of, like, everything. It turns out that my car, they will cover the engine getting all fucked up. And in the meantime, they gave me a replacement car. And they gave me the Hyundai Palisade, which is, like, I mean, you know, we're not talking fucking Rolls Royce here. No. But it is, like, it's by far the nicest SUV I've ever driven. Big. It's smooth. It's got an engine. It's got the works. I've got camera. You got the back, the reverse camera, right? I've also got...
which I don't use, by the way. I'm old school.
I was that way, but I eventually I don't either, but...
I mean, it's quite literally a live feed of what's behind your car. I know. Like, they might be taking this.
Well, so I've learned to trust the reverse camera.
There's just something primal.
Yeah, I got it. The arm over, yes. Yes.
That's like, I'm backing up. Everyone chill.
That's
out.
That's the Frank Costanza.
Hang on, don't worry, I got this.
Yeah. You do. You palm it. Yeah. But I have, when I put my blinker on, I get these like tire cameras almost that show me the sides, and then I have a bird's eye view, which I'm like, is there a fucking drone like flying above me?
What do you mean?
It must be some sort of composite. Yes. Like, it shows the top of my car, which I can tell is actually not. It must be like that is like a 3D rendering. What's around me is real. So there must be cameras on the sides. And then it must, like, projected or some shit, but I have my back camera, and then above me is like as if there was a drone just driving alongside me.
So that's insane.
I've got like these lights that like line the side doors. It's like when you're, have you ever flown like a Virgin Atlantic with the purple lighting?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have the purple lighting. I mean,
oh, you're in Tokyo Drift.
I've been living, man. And it's I mean, I think I fucked my engine up. So I think like when I went to the dealership, they were like, we don't know how to fix this. Like we like rotate the tires here. So I think they had to ship it and fix it. So I've been driving this for like a couple weeks now. And I
don't want to go back.
I don't want to go back. I don't want to go back. And I'm like, I want to like text him. Like, so are you guys advertising with us or not? Like, you want to keep this going? Like,
if you just let me have the car?
Yeah, please. Right. That would be dope. That's what we got to get. You know, I always joked like, thank you to the people who like send me free snacks and send me like a piece of clothing. But we got to start like, how about Mercedes sends us some shit? You know, if we can start getting cars. That'd be pretty fucking nice. Send me a boat. How about that? Woo me like that. So yeah, maybe I get a free fucking Hyundai.
Wait, so you have to get that car back?
I gotta get that car back, and I get my original car back, which will be fixed and is totally a fine normal car, but it ain't the like souped up, jacked up three rows Palisade, you know?
The Palisade is a nice name.
Yeah, right? It's quite nice. So yeah, the clock has struck midnight, and I will be returning to my Hyundai Tucson. Fuck me. You want to get into Am I the Asshole?
We got some
epic Am I the Assholes, so let's get into it. Simply Safe. I'll tell you what, you're an asshole if you don't get Simply Safe. Here, John, let me hit you. Am I the Asshole? So.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
I'm so hot in here.
It's
very toasty, right? Let me get up these like epic Am I the Assholes. All right, so this is one that got sent to us immediately, and I can absolutely understand why. This made it to both Am I the Asshole and the Reddit ships. My boyfriend and I have been going steady the last 2 years. Shout out to the year 1950. Going steady. I won't bore you with too many details, but just know that it's been wonderful. We click on multiple levels, and I believe we could click sexually too, but I messed up early on in our dating days, and I'm not sure how to go back. The first time we had sex, we were both quite tipsy. Okay, so I was straight up drunk, but please know that I was consenting. Don't waste your time or energy on rape accusations. This is important because this would never happen when I was sober. He was pounding me while I was on top, which is kind of a weird.
Yeah.
You can do that with the upward thrust. Oh, yeah. But I would not describe that like. You're not pounding.
No, and also you get about 30 seconds of that.
That's you gotta have. And then your thighs
a little
are
wiped out.
Yeah, your hip flexors are fucking burning.
You had that James Harrison workout where you're like, he has
you
the
put the weight up on your
humping it up.
I would not call that pounding. I would characterize that more as clapping. It was clapping me because you get a lot of that flap, flap, flap.
But also like it's an accurate description. But also like if someone was like he was clapping me, I'd be like, what are you talking?
Yeah.
So like when you
got to describe it, but I think, you know, in order to say someone was pounding you, I think that's got to be like legs up on the shoulders or, you know, just straight
pile
you're
drive.
On top. Pile. Yeah, you know, it's got to be that's got to have gravity working with you, not against you to be pounding. Anywho, he was pounding me while I was on top and I lost control of my bladder. I seriously pissed all over him in his bed. I was mortified and started bawling and climbing off him when he stopped me and told me it was super hot and he had never made a girl squirt like that before. I was still in shock and I went with it. Sure, yeah, I squirted, right. Anyways, ever since that night, if we have sex and I don't quote-unquote squirt, he feels bad and he feels like he didn't do a good job. So I just kept going with it and forcing myself to pee. The carpet, our couch, mattresses, curtains, our quilted headboard have all been ruined, and it straight up smells like piss despite my best efforts to clean. I don't know how he doesn't know. I even broached pee play in a joking way to see if he did know that I was, and he was like, ew. So he definitely thinks it's squirt. I really want to stop destroying the house, but once COVID is over, I'd like to have company over. It has to stop, but I don't know how to tell him without making him feel totally disgusted and lied to. Please help. I'll take any ideas into consideration because honestly, I can't see a way out. Too long, didn't read. I peed, played along with it. It was squirting, and now our furniture and maybe relationship is destroyed.
That's an all-timer.
All-timer. That's an all-timer. All-timer. That's right up our alley.
Very, very good one.
So let me just say a couple things. One, I think if you've had any experience with squirting, and I guess maybe if you hadn't and this would be your first time, you're not going to make somebody squirt from that position that way, right?
I guess you have more experience than me in it. I don't know what is like.
I've had someone squirt on top, but not from like the pounding she's describing where it's like the clapping, you know? If you're making someone squirt, you're like digging in the fuck. You're in there and like trying to make it happen. If it was me, I would be like, I've seen porn. I've dabbled in that world a little bit. That's not how it's happening. But for her to be like, I don't know how he doesn't know. The world is it's a gray area with squirt and pee.
Oh, well, I don't think it's a gray area. I think we might lie to ourselves, but we know the truth.
That it's pee.
Yeah.
Right. So I think for her to be like,
walk around pretending it's not, like, ooh, that is sexy. It's just
there is, no. I mean, there's something different that gets mixed up with some pee.
I think it's.
It's not fully pee. Because I've never just had like a full like yellow pee situation. Right. There is ejaculate, I guess they call it. But it's going through the pee hole. And so I think some things get mixed up together.
I don't know. I think it's mostly pee. I mean, like Abella has told us, like on set, like she just has to chug fucking.
Well, I think you need to be hot. Yeah. So that's what I mean. I think it's all connected. I love you. Keep looking out the door, right?
People walking by, so she's getting my attention. Well, I'm not close.
But it's also it does feel so much better with the air. But now we're talking about chicks squirting. So, I mean, when I've done that, there's definitely a difference between pee, but there also sometimes is, you know, some trace characteristics. Of piss.
I mean, if you're just straight up pissing,
but that's what
that
I'm saying.
That house sounds like a cat.
That's what I mean. Like if you're doing that, you gotta
cat
yeah, box, you
cat
gotta change.
Litter, cat, what am I thinking? I don't know.
Litter box.
Your
litter
house
box.
Smells like a fucking litter box.
Litter box. Yeah. I mean, if you're doing that, it's like yes. I always joke you gotta have like a Dexter room ready to go.
Yeah.
But it's if someone was just pissing in your bed all the time, your house would honestly be a fiasco. If you're squirting every time you're having sex, it's probably inconvenient, but your house does not smell like a litter box. So, I mean, at some point, I think this guy has to be like, this is like a yellow stain of pee.
And at some point, like, I mean, you can't just be fucking pissing on the couch.
No.
If you do it in the bedroom, that's one thing, I suppose. But you can't be pissed on the kitchen table.
No. The headboard, like, I mean, come on. You're like lifting your leg here?
At some point, we need to take some personal responsibility. And that point is just before we start pissing on the couch to not upset our husband.
The other thing, too,
they're just dating,
but I think he's like, it's the real deal. But at some point, like, forget the fucking, you got a really seriously fragile ego. If once you make a girl squirt, you have to make them squirt every single time. I mean, again, I've done it and done it consistently, but times that it doesn't happen, I'm not like, oh my God, I didn't make it. It's like, what? All right, it didn't fucking happen this time.
Would you break up with this girl if she told you the truth?
No.
Oh, I absolutely would.
Yeah?
Oh, just because I'm like, wait, what? You've been pissing?
Well, don't get me wrong. Like, it's totally deranged, and that's what a normal person should do. I would probably be, like, turned on.
Oh, well, I was like, look, if you want to pee on me, that's a different story.
I'd be mad that you're lying to me. Just tell me the truth and piss on me.
Fucking rip a piss. I don't give a shit.
But also, not only the, you know, if you're into that, sure, but more like the, like, you were, like, so into the sex and, like, wanted to make sure it was so hot and everything. I'd be like, oh, I'm kind of flattered you kept pissing on me.
Oh, yeah. I guess, but again, I would go, but the couch?
Yeah, like
there. Like, why didn't you just always fuck me in the tub?
But that's
if you wanted to piss on me that bad.
This doesn't make any sense from the regard of like certain things happen sometimes when you have sex. Like, if you're having a quickie, I think you know, unfortunately for girls, a lot of times, like, you're not coming. Right. You know what I mean? Like, this is just for me to put it in. We had like a hot moment, whatever. So like Sometimes not everybody even comes, let alone squirts. So if you're like, you know, you're on the couch watching a movie and things start to get like hot and heavy, that doesn't need to be like squirt sex.
Right.
That can just be like, whoa, that was spur of the moment on the couch. I don't have to piss on the cushions. Like, I mean, you're a
get
real
your fucking priorities order in order, woman. Like, stop. Just say like I had an orgasm. What is this guy, a fucking idiot?
Yeah.
He thinks
well, that's what I mean.
Like I had an orgasm.
This
it's good.
Guy, yeah.
Just,
and just by the
lie,
by,
like you always do.
By the by, the more important thing to learn here is not every squirt is actually an orgasm.
Is that true?
That's true. You can squirt, and as a, kind of in my experience, it's almost frequently not. It's kind of like a thing that occurs that's like good,
it's just
but it's not
pee.
Like the yeah. It's basically like I just pushed on your stomach till all your fluids came out. Some of it was cum, some of it was pee, but I just like smashed into your stomach. So
yeah, just treat a girl like the last sip of a Capri Sun.
you're getting the last bit of toothpaste stack and rolling it and squeezing it. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it can happen, and then she's not even coming. So you know, dude, just stop. I mean, come on. And you know what's funny? I mean, this guy sounds like a particular pussy. It sounds like she's gone down this road where he really is, like, so mopey about it. But I feel like if, you know, if I thought I needed to every time and some girl was like, yo, dude, like, no, you don't. I'd probably just be like, okay, like, fine,
yeah, yeah,
whatever. Like, we just didn't communicate or whatever, you know? But I think you got to just stop pissing all over your house.
It's
simple
one.
As that, folks.
If you are pissing in the living room, you're the asshole.
Yeah. Unless, again, it is disgust
right.
and desire.
No, yes, yes. You
if,
know.
If the guy's like, what I want is to piss in the living room, then you piss in the way.
Yeah.
And have a piss. God, sex is weird, man.
It is awesome.
Like, do you think that people were doing like squirting and maybe even like pee play back in... I feel like what happened, I feel like in the Roman and Greek times, they were, like, doing everything.
Yeah.
And then I feel like we went into, like, a lull. Like,
yeah,
humankind.
Yeah, we got puritanical with it.
Yeah, yeah. And right. So do you think that, like, in, like, the 50s, let's say even, like, just fast forward. You think in the 50s there were guys da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da doing, like, the hammer time trying to make girls squirt?
You look like a slow-mo in a fucking mobster movie with just a Tommy gun.
Yeah, where you see, like, the ripples in their skin. Just the Spider-Man fingers, the pushing on the stomach, and like, was that happening and it just wasn't discussed? Because my point is, if this is, like, where we're progressing, like, what happens in 100 years from now? If you got people pissing all over the house to try to keep up with, like, the porn that guys watch, what happens in the year 3000, you know? Jesus Christ.
I think that...
What do you think? It always ebbs and flows. Like, we reach a... Like, right now we're reaching a peak, and then we'll get puritanical with it again.
I think
and
we'll just get bored with it.
And we just stop having sex?
Because we've seen it all so much.
Yeah.
I get it.
I think that, but then it's like... I would almost be there already, you know, and I still like that.
You think so?
I mean, if you know, 15, 20 years of, like, porn consumption and all that shit has not grown tired, you know, I don't think anything will. You know what I mean?
To some level,
I think we're always going to enjoy doing it. I hope. I don't know. But bottom line, you can't piss all over your house.
No, you are the asshole.
No, what? I think
they're both assholes.
They say
assholes.
Everyone's the asshole here?
Yeah.
ATH or whatever? ETH? He's the asshole for being like a pussy about it. She's the asshole for being a pussy about it and not like speaking up about it. So stop being a pussy with your piss pussy. Okay, this one's a wild ride too. We got sent this a few times as well. Am I the asshole for choosing my lobster over my child? This is almost like the racist dog. Title sounds bad, but hear me out. I work as a lobster fisherman. I'm away from home for months at a time and then come back for 4 to 6 weeks to spend time with my roommate and kids. With the Christmas season approaching, I'm scheduled to get off December 22nd. My captain just approached me and said that there are short men for a one-week tour and that he wants me to stay on for another week. It pays time and a half, which would be $700 a day, much more than all my friends earn. I love that that's the barometer.
Yeah.
I'll be richer than all my fucking low-life friends. I could really use the money, so I told him I would do it. My roommate is upset with me because she wants me to come home and spend time with her and my kids. From my perspective, I could really use the money for bills, and Christmas is just a day on the calendar. We can celebrate at the end of the month when I get back home. Also, I just recently bought a meat slicer for $200. So, Reddit, am I the asshole? Edit, answering a few questions. My roommate is the mother of my children, also my girlfriend, but we are not in love. That's like, I used to call Caitlin my roommate. That's just like a stupid little thing. Yeah. Meat slicer is relevant because of the additional financial strain. I'm the primary user of the meat slicer when I'm home, but she has full use of it when I'm away. Edit number two. I'm getting a lot of questions about the meat slicer. When you buy ribeye pre-sliced, there's a 50-cent premium per slice relative to buying a full ribeye and slicing your own. So assuming you have 3 to 4 ribeyes per week, it pays for itself in just over 2 years. So this guy's got a meat slicer, a ribeye habit, and five ribeyes per week. That's what this guy's done.
That is so many ribeyes.
Listen,
you're going to have a heart attack soon.
3 to 4 ribeyes with a 50-cent premium per slice. In 2 years, you've got yourself, you're paying for it.
Yeah, so when you've got, you're fucking making money.
So you got a roommate, a kid, a meat slicer, and a ribeye habit. You got a lot to keep up with the bills. And he's got $700 a day waiting on deck.
I mean, $700 a day is cash.
That's big money. I mean, this is Deadliest Catch type shit. And when you live the life of a fisherman, when you're on the Downeaster Alexa and you're living that life, I mean, this is what happens. I feel like this is, you know, you can phrase it as like you chose a lobster over our child. It's like, no, I chose fucking money.
I chose work.
Over our child. And not over a child. It's like for the child.
You're right.
Like when you can make that kind of cash, because you can't be a lobster fisherman forever. You can't do that when you're old and brittle. So I got to go out now when I can still do it.
This is the stuff that upsets me. It's I bring it up in TV shows all the time. It's like, you knew what I did when you started dating
me.
I still do that.
Yep.
But now it upsets you. That doesn't make any sense.
That ain't fair, brother.
It's like I always use Hotch as the example from Criminal Minds.
Because
they ended up getting a divorce. Him and his wife used to fight all the time. And she's like, you're just never home for dinner. Like, no, I'm saving the fucking country from terrorists and serial killers.
Right.
That's what I did. It's what I've always done. It's what I'm going to continue to do. Sometimes I'm going to miss chicken dinner.
It's a great example.
It's fucking insane.
I always use myself as the example. But yeah, especially when it's like an important job. It's like, I mean, hats off to any woman or man that does this, but like when you marry someone who's, you know, a CIA agent or some shit, I guess maybe you don't even know when it's a CIA agent, but like an open FBI agent or a policeman or even a fireman and all that shit, it's like more power to you. I don't know. Like that's gonna be tough. It's gonna suck.
I love how you just hit that. I love that the tonal voice change when someone slips in a shout out to every woman or man.
Shout out to every guy
or girl.
It can happen.
It's always like, well, I forgot about this one.
So annoying. Yeah. So fucking annoying.
You know what I really meant? I just wanted to say it.
All right, one more. Am I the asshole? Because this one jumped out at me, and
that's pretty clear. You're not. The
oh
asshole.
Right,
you're working.
All right, I love this one, and Twitter did not. I am totally on the guy's side here. I will say that going into it, and I will tell you that Twitter was not. Am I the asshole for telling my son to grow up? And I'm like 90% on this guy's side. Am I the asshole for telling my son to grow up and accept the consequences of his choice to snitch on his friends? All I know is what my son told me, so I might not have all the details here, but here we go. My son is a senior in his senior year of high school, but he had a take-home final for his calculus class. The teacher said that they couldn't work together, but they could all use their notes. A few of his friends in a group decided to work together on the final anyway. My son, without consenting me or his mom, anonymously sent screenshots of the group chat to the teacher. I have no idea what's going to happen in terms of the discipline, but they were obviously incredibly angry when the teacher told them that they were caught. So they're using the group chat to ask who snitched and that whoever snitched needs to say that they did. It was only last night that my son confessed what was going on to me and my wife. He was very upset because someone in the group chat accused him of being the snitch and he denied it. I asked him why he even snitched in the first place. I absolutely wouldn't have done that and I wouldn't have told him to do that. And he said that he didn't think it was fair if people worked together when the teacher said not to, but he didn't think it would be this big of a deal. I told him that he needs to confess what he's done and to be honest with his friends. My son was crying and said that they didn't and said that they wouldn't want to be friends with him anymore if he came clean. I told him that he was probably right, but that he should have seen that coming before he chose to snitch on them. I honestly don't know how he didn't see this whole thing coming, and I told him that. I also told him that he should have told his friends directly that it was not cool to cheat, and that he acted like a coward in anonymously snitching, and that I was disappointed in him. He just cried and went to his room. My wife was very upset with me and said that I was just making him feel worse and that I acted like a dick. I hate to say this, but I believe my son acted like a dick. I certainly wouldn't want to be his friend if I found out he snitched on me for something that stupid and then lied about not snitching. I don't know if he comes clean or not, but I think it just provided him with good, solid advice, and I don't think I was an asshole. It says, edit, I've been banned, but the whole bottom line is I realized I was wrong for how I spoke to my son, but I still believe that I handled the situation incorrectly. I'll apologize today. And yes, I did cheat sometimes in high school, and no, I don't regret it at all. I don't think what I do I'll tell you the things I do agree with and the things I don't agree with. I think his son's an asshole for snitching.
I think I agree with 100%.
The only thing I don't think is – I don't think I would tell him to, like, confess or be a coward. I don't know. I'd probably, like, take – I don't know. You fucked up big time. Just take that one to the grave so you don't, like, lose your friends.
Okay. That's fair.
You know?
I'd probably, yeah.
So that I don't know about. And there was, like, one other part where it was just like, oh, when he was like, you should have told them up front, I don't think it's cool if you cheat. And that's like
– no.
He doesn't – you don't say anything,
but you know, you don't say anything. But like,
people want to cheat. That's it. That it's up for the teacher to catch.
But if and like, if you're, if you really were having this moral crisis here, then I guess in the group text, be like, guys, stop cheating. But like, you don't fucking snitch on them,
right? And
it's an open book test. That's
right.
You can't cheat on a book where you can look up the answers.
Right. And that's also why I would kind of like make the argument that they weren't even cheating to begin with.
Right.
You mind your own business. You take your own tests. I would say, hey, son, how come you didn't get in on that cheating ring and get the fucking good grade too? but this guy, so he went in and answered other questions in like the thread, and people kept getting more and more like angry, and I just kept thinking he got like more and more right. Someone was like this could result in violence, and he was like, they're all suburban white boys, like no one's gonna get beat up over this math test. What a truly ridiculous comment. From his telling of the story, he didn't even directly tell his friends that they shouldn't cheat, but he went behind their backs and anonymously told the teacher. I think that's very cowardly. And then I think this is the one I saw that I liked. My son chose a meaningless test over his friends and is now lying to his friends about not being responsible. I think lying is wrong, but should I text the entire group chat that my son was the one who snitched? And what would be the – like, I think that's a great point. Like, you like blew up your entire, like, friends group.
For
a stupid fucking test.
For literally nothing. For a test that you'll never think about ever again. Cheat your fucking balls off.
Face off.
Like, do everything you can to make your life easier. And if that's cheating on a test, which you're allowed to be cheating
right.
on.
Right. It's already like, we're allowing like 90% cheating. They went the other 10%. Right. I guess you could make the argument like, hey guys, you really shouldn't take advantage of it. Like, don't fuck a good thing. But also,
too bad.
Just shut the fuck up. This test is meaningless. And I think the bigger life lesson here is what he keeps saying. Like, I don't know how he didn't see this coming. It's like, you need to take stock of how like the world works. Like, if you start doing this shit when you're at work and you're fucking with people's money, like, you will get beat up. Like, there will be bad consequences. If you can't understand that your priorities are really fucked, if you think that this one calculus test is more important than like your entire social life.
I mean, that kid's
a pariah. That's it. He's done.
I don't even think it's like I don't even think you're an asshole if you do this to strangers in class.
Right, right.
Like, mind your own fucking business.
Absolutely.
You don't want to take the easy way out? Good for you.
Yeah, then you're.
I'm glad you studied your balls off. I'm glad
you're a hero.
You brushed up on chapters every night after our lessons.
You're a calculus hero.
So I need to fucking look at this little thing on my TI-89 in which I put all the answers in.
Right.
So you shut your fucking mouth. I'll handle my business over here.
Absolutely. And now, like, you're going to cry about having no friends, and it was like your fucking fault. Now, what I think I don't agree with, like, there's probably a little more bedside manner here, a little bit more of a nice fatherly way to do it, but I don't know. Maybe this guy's an old school cat who's just like, you're a fucking snitch, you're a dick, and next time be better. I would probably be
all fair things to say.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, speaking of like situations like this with your son and kids, I am entering Adam Desiato, the son in Your Honor, the Bryan Cranston show, into the like bad TV kid Hall of Fame.
Really?
He's awful. He's awful.
I'm on that episode too.
We'll give it a couple more episodes. Everybody catch up with Your Honor.
Only
three.
Three was last
three.
Night.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think like we'll give it a couple more so there's like more to talk about. But there's some interesting like moral discussions and dilemmas about that. But this kid, they're trying to like hide a hit and run, and he's like going back to the scene of the crime, and he's showing up at court, and it's like, Adam,
yeah,
get the fuck in the basement. And, like, shut the fuck up. Hate him. All right, so that's Am I the Asshole. We're going to do a little top fives for you today because we're jamming two episodes into one here. Top five today, in honor of the Barstool Fund and small businesses everywhere, we're going to give everybody our top five bars, restaurants, places that we love of all time. The Barstool Fund is probably, I believe, our biggest charitable endeavor ever to try to do basically what the United States government has not done.
Yes, it is definitively our most ambitious.
Right. And it's already kind of delivering more than I thought. Like, I mean, Dave did his video and he was like, we're going to save multiple restaurants for multiple months. And I got nervous, but like we made like several hundred thousand dollars overnight. And I think as this thing grows and goes viral, we'll get more and more donations. And more importantly, hopefully, like, I don't know, the government is like taking note. Maybe it'll kick them in the ass. And
didn't they just
something.
Give the $600 stimulus checks? Is that official?
I don't know. I saw a lot of chatter about that. There are two things I saw chatter on. One, $600 stimulus, which is just a slap in the goddamn face.
I mean, that, I would light that money on fire.
Absolutely.
In front of Congress.
Absolutely.
I would just go be like, what the fuck do you want me to do with this?
And two, that today, December 21st, is when all the black people got their superpowers.
Excuse me?
My favorite black Twitter thing ever. This chick, I think she's just a random like Twitter user. She just went viral because in like a thread arguing, she said, on 12/21, at the stroke of midnight, we get our superpowers. Everybody with like melanin in their skin is going to realize and actualize their final form. And so Black Twitter was just having a field day with becoming superheroes overnight. And I was texting with our boy Kaz and I was like, yo, you know, when you're in the Avengers, like, don't forget about me. Like, you know, and he was like, he goes, I'll beat you up last during the race war. Don't worry. But like Jesus was talking, like they were playing clips. There's some movie where like The Rock and Samuel L. Jackson are in it. Do you know this movie?
I don't think so.
I think they were like, there's a scene where they both jump off of a fucking
building. The other guys.
Right. So it was built up like they were going to be like stars of it. And then they die in like the first scene or whatever. Yeah, yeah. But they were like all those black people on, you know, on 12/21, they jump off and they just splat on the ground. Like all this funny shit.
Aim for the bushes.
Yep.
So that, I mean, that was one of my favorite. I mean, I wish I got to go listen to Kaz or Jesus Amir or some of the people who can really dig into it because we can't say shit about it, but it was fucking funny. Some of the times they were throwing around.
Something wild. As you were explaining it, and you're like, at the stroke of midnight, I was like, oh, Beyonce album drops.
Honestly, there's a black person with superpowers as far as I'm fucking concerned.
Like, oh, new Beyonce,
yeah, it's coming. Okay, but Barstool Fund is, you know, raising money and saving lives, literally saving careers. We started with Borelli's, and hopefully we're going to do a lot more. So in honor of that, we're going to talk about all the places we'd love to save and the places that are near and dear to our heart.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Top five bars of all time. You want to go first, or shall I?
Sure. We're just going types of bars, correct?
Go with your favorite bars, but tell me what kind of bar it is.
Okay, well, one is Irish pubs, obviously.
The Irish pub.
I honestly might just do all five, maybe Irish pub.
Yeah, that's
there
fine.
There are other
that's
bars
fair.
I go to. Yeah, you know what? I'm doing it. All five.
Irish pubs. See,
there are... Because I can have a good time in another bar, but if we don't have my favorite bars,
it's like anything, dude. It's like, you know, you want like a good deli, you go to the Italians. You go to the Italian deli, right? Or even the Jewish deli. You want like soul food or some shit, like you go to the family owned soul food black family in the neighborhood. You want a good Irish? You want a good drinking experience?
Drink?
You go to the Irish. Yep. The Irish. We know what we're doing.
Yeah, we're going to have a fucking fireplace, and we're going to have fucking wood chips all over the floor, and we're going to get drunk in this tinderbox.
Absolutely. That's my number one pick is Rathbones, which to me is like, I need the sawdust on the floor.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I fucking do. I need there to be a good burger. I need there to be whiskey and beer, and that's it. Like everything's wooden in that bar. Everything's wood. There's no metal. There's nothing shiny. Wood. Wood chips on the floor. Wood chairs. Wood bar. It's soaked with beer. It's warped with piss. It's
always... Yeah, that girl's been hanging out on it. It's always just a little bit darker. And it's like inside always feels like a completely different environment than outside, which obviously it is.
Mm-hmm.
But like you can go in. It can be a beautiful sunny August day. And then you go in there. And you're transported to South. It's just like,
absolutely.
It is just, it's,
again,
it's
this,
winter. As soon
it's
as you get
all
the door,
your senses.
Winter.
The lights go dark and you can't see anything. The music is like probably terrible. Like, you know, like heavy. You're hearing different. You smell different. Everything touch. Everything's different. Yeah. Your entire and everything tastes different. You go to like a McSorley's. You want light ale or dark ale? That's it. You get mustard that sets your fucking throat on fire. It's like everything's heightened. Everything is just like a true. True experience, a true drinking experience, which actually going out of order here, but I'm going to throw McSorley's as my number two.
Okay.
So McSorley's, I mean, it's the oldest bar in New York City, I believe.
Okay. So my number one, by the way, will go O'Brien's.
Which is where?
That's Newport. That's Newport. That's like the bar I've always gone to forever.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the bar like I've. I didn't have my first beer, but like,
well, so
one of the first bars I got drunk in.
That's the thing. That's what McSorley's is for me. McSorley's was the first bar where like my buddy had one of those cousins who's like an uncle. You know when the ages get all weird?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's like a cousin who's way older, and he took us to McSorley's, and that's almost a little bit of like a soup Nazi experience where it's like, what craft beer do you have? Right. It's like, shut the fuck up. You get old, you get dark, you get, have you been there?
No, never.
Okay.
I think you got me a book. Or no, someone got us. You talked about it on the podcast ages ago, and someone sent us the book.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope it hasn't, like, jumped the shark a little bit. I think it became a little bit of, like, a touristy spot. They give you – you order a beer, you get light or dark. It comes in two mugs, like, two smaller mugs. I don't know why they do that. It seems like a lot more dishes. But it's, like, 2 8-ounce mugs instead of a 16-ounce pint glass.
Okay.
But so these guys can do that, like, Oktoberfest shit where they're carrying, like, 700 – fucking mugs of beer. And then they have the big like appetizer is saltine crackers with cheese, raw onions, and the McSorley's ale mustard, which is like, again, clears your sinuses. It is. But it's like the raw onion and mustard, and you're slapping it together and eating it with the beer. It's just, and I think it's like at this point probably like 300 years old. They've got the bones of World War I veterans behind the bar. It's like it's got some fucking character, the bones of a fucking vet. It's a place and a half. And I feel like, I mean, I don't know what sort of condition they're in. I know Rathbones is in trouble right now. I don't know about a place like McSorley's, but like
I went recently.
Still open?
It's still open. It seems like they're doing well. Everyone in there looks like they've killed someone though.
Yeah, like, it's an intimidating Irish place.
Like, I can't
remember the name of the guy. Are they still wearing those like gray like uniform? They're like smocks almost, right? They're like it's almost like a barber's jacket.
It looks like a butcher's like.
Yeah, butcher, yeah. Which is, I think, you know, because they're spilling and they got to wipe the blood off the people they kill in the back and all that shit.
Oh, definitely.
The guineas they kill back with a butcher's knife. But it was, I remember being like nervous where they're like, they talk fast and like, you want light or dark, you want this. And I was kind of like, Bud Light, I don't know what to do. And like, you learn quick. And then you could almost spot the other rookies where it's like, this is this guy's first time and this guy's first time. So, like, God willing, bars like that stay open.
Two, Factory 380. No brainer.
That's your spot now.
Dopest spot in the.
You've probably been to that bar more than like some bars that you've gone to for like 10 years of your life. You know,
I mean, like there was a stretch where I just went every single night.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Especially when you lived there. That stretch was 2 years long.
And now you're on like the other side of town, but you still go there.
Yeah,
so you go out of your way before you go
it's
home.
It's a great spot. Like, yeah. It's a little darker. It is a little nicer than your standard Irish pub. Yep. You know, they got felt on their chairs there and things.
Woo, high society.
But you know, it isn't as divey as I typically like.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, they more than make up for it with the service. It is the owners, the bartenders are all literally they're all my best friends.
That kind of I feel like falls into your like it's your after work bar, like the one that you fall into that you know after work every day, literally almost every day. But certainly when you're like you're going for drinks or a happy hour or you had a long day at work, everybody has their like. Meet me at the spot. You don't even have to say it. Like, meet
factory
at the bar.
Factory has gotten me through many a day.
Yes, exactly. Like,
right, just do this that's one your, thing, and then
that,
we get to
that is your, like, you know, that's your everyday, you know, there's, like, your bars that you love that you go to. Like okay, so I'm going to go with, I'll go with Parker House down in the Jersey Shore.
Okay.
So that's, like, my summer bar where, you know, I gear up, I get so excited for it for the summer. Factory 380 is like, this is my everyday bar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is like, I'm a 300 hitter. I'm just like singles every day versus like Parker House to me is like the slugger. That the summer bar that you like every weekend you're going to go to in the summer, you get your share house to like live. You like decide where you're going to live like in relation to that bar. You know what I mean? Like, oh, it's only like 4 minutes away. But Parker House is this gigantic like Victorian mansion.
Oh, I've been.
That
I hate so much there.
Yeah, that's the other thing. They have these sliders and a lobster bake and shit. For a while, I don't think anymore, but
they used
to do dollar.
Pouring beer in my head, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, They did Dollar Nips for a while, which is always a fun little like switch up. The little fat Miller Lite, like, you know, the little fatzos.
Yeah.
They give it to you like in the six pack like case, uh-huh. You know. And then they have like the boom boom room where they're playing like techno music, and then downstairs is what I dubbed, or no, I didn't dub it, but I popularized the term God's Basement, where they have like the Pat Roddy's cover band and all like the local like Jersey Shore legend type shit. There's a guy there called, I think they call him the Silver Fox. He's been a bartender there for like 60 years. Because those spots, being a bartender at those summer spots is like,
yeah,
that's like you get you. It's like a season tickets waiting list sort of thing. Like you get on a list, and if your name gets drawn, like you take that job. You leave your job like in Manhattan to go be a fucking bartender because you make bank. It was one. It's like a cash only spot, but I think there's one dude. Maybe the guy is named Silver Fox. There's one guy that they allow to use like a credit card at Parker House. He's like such a fucking OG that they're like, you can use a credit card.
There's but only one person in the world.
The whole rest of the thing is cash only, which is another like that's a good mark of a bar. Like,
yeah.
They're doing some under the table shit. Oh, they're doing some fugazi stuff. And usually the summer bars are like that, cash only, and it's a bitch and it's annoying, but you do it because you love it.
Another one is the old fashioned till. To register.
Oh, like the
with the big buttons,
yeah.
And stuff?
Yeah.
If you got that, you're a great bar.
It's got the wheel, like the numbers come up with the wheels. Yeah. You're up.
Me? Okay, I will go number three. I would put Beacon Hill Pub here, but that's already closed down. So not really gonna get much saving there.
Yep.
I'll go Spring Lounge. Fucking love Spring Lounge.
What's that?
Spring Street here.
Oh, okay.
It's a really, really, really great bar. It's like it's what Applebee's wants to be. Now let me explain that. Applebee's always just puts so many knickknacks
on the wall,
but it's curated.
Yeah.
And
it's
like,
not
but
real.
When you're in
yeah.
Spring Lounge, you're like, where the fuck did that? It's perfect, yeah, but where the yeah. fuck did that come from?
Right.
Like,
and it's got character. It's got a meaning
motif.
Behind it.
Yeah. A lot of the tables are fucking whatchamacallit. Oak barrels and things like that.
Yep.
It's a very cool bar. And it's a bar where cool people go to drink.
Oh,
if there was one time I was there, I think it was a snow day, probably like, I couldn't even tell you when. And I was drinking there for like hours. And then I looked to my right and it was like, oh, gentleman in Amendola just sitting here.
Really?
Yeah, and it was wow. some man. I was like, how long have you been here? Like, I don't know. How long have you been here? Like, I don't fucking know, man. It's snowing outside.
Dude, as you said, like, you're talking about these places, some of them are already closing, and the spot you're describing, I just Googled it. There's this speakeasy in the Village. You probably didn't even get a chance to go. Did you ever go to Chumley's?
No.
Ugh, fuck. Should have taken you there. It's in the West Village. It's like a true, like, speakeasy. Like, it's behind, like, the first thing you open up is, you know, there's nothing there, and then you got to go downstairs. I think I only went like once with a guy. I got my buddy Kev, who's like a New York fireman. He's got a guy for everything. Yeah. He's got one of those cousins who's older and weird shit, and he took us to Chumley's. But apparently over July in the pandemic, they closed down. Fuck. But so like Hemingway, F. Scott Fitzgerald, Steinbeck, J.D. Salinger, all those guys drank there.
Really?
Like, opened in 1922. West Village bar and restaurant that was like a true speakeasy during Prohibition. So it was like a big time haunt for like the best of America's fucking drunks. Yeah. You know? Fuck, that sucks, man. Yeah, it just said 86. Like, that was just a door that said 86 on it. And that was like, you know, the only thing that you knew. So that's... That sucks. My next pick, I'm going to go with the Pickle Barrel in Killington.
Yes. Okay. I knew I recognized that.
I think like so.
Pickle Barrel
Parker
a great
House.
One.
Parker House is like my summer bar. Yeah. Pickle Barrel was my ski house winter bar.
Yeah.
Pickle Barrel. I've only gone a couple times because, first of all, you only like. You get a house for like one weekend in the winter. You know, you do like MLK weekend or whatever. Mm-hmm. Where the summer, you go for like 15 weeks. But I only did like one weekend. So it would only be like a once or twice a year event. But man, I had so much fun there. I don't know why.
Anyone's ever had a bad time.
The cover band was always great. I think everyone's in like sweatpants and sweatshirts because they're coming off the
mountain.
That's
the best.
I remember my buddy Vinny, we were like, and this was the point where we would still go to bars. We would dance. We'd get in big circles and dance and do stupid shit. And my buddy Vinny was kind of like, I think we were being particularly like sloppy and messy, spilling beers, making out. And he was like, there's like no rules here. And he just took his pants off. He put his pants around his knees. He had boxers on, but he was just dancing with his pants down. And like nobody stopped us because everyone's just here for the weekend, getting shit faced and skiing. So like that wintertime post ski, après ski type of bar. Oh,
Pickle Barrel might be the pick of the draft right
now. I mean, that is my favorite. I remember saying like Parker House because of, you know, summertime and all that, but just the. It's batting 1,000. Yeah. I've never been there and had a bad time. Parker House has kind of gotten overrun and it's become like too much. I haven't been to Pickle Barrel forever, but I've never had a bad
time. We had a blackout tour there once.
Yeah.
Got scared.
Yeah.
Someone was going to jump off the fucking balcony onto us.
I feel like, did I go to that? I think I had visions of like, I'm going to go to the one in.
I don't think you did.
Is that Killington?
Yeah.
Or Stowe? Yeah.
Killington.
Pickle Barrel's the best.
Fuck, man. Now I feel like I have pressure because that one's a fucking great one.
What are we at? 4 each right now? Is this your last pick?
This is my fourth. I went one, you went
yeah,
one too.
I stole, yeah.
I guess I'm just gonna go Ear In. It's another bar that is like it's basically Spring Lounge, it's on Spring Street. Mm-hmm. It's just another one of the same bars.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and while we're at it, I'll do my number five, it's Molly's.
Just the regular spots.
Just Irish bars in Manhattan is so really true, my man. Answer.
My last pick, I will go
I also don't know if Erin is an Irish bar. I believe it is. It definitely looks it. But it's the same thing as Spring Lounge in the sense it's just like there's knickknacks everywhere. It all looks random and it all is random, but somehow it all works so well.
It's kind of like this shit. You know what I mean? I was looking at like that. Remember that guy's hat who he hiked and he went to the top of the mountain to get service for us? Like random shit like that. I gotta go. It's not exactly small family business. It was family business, but I'm gonna go Bordy Barn. Ooh. I don't know how Bordy Barn fared during the summer pandemic. Probably not great because it's got to be, you know, close quarters and sloppy times together.
This is it, because Bordy Barn invented COVID.
That's that Mackenzie. She tweeted like that the classic meme running around right now. She was like, I made out with a guy in the porta potty at Bordy Barn. I'm not worried about what's in the vaccine.
I've had sex at the porta potty in Preakness. I'm good.
Have you? Did you?
Did you make her squirt?
She was probably pissing. That is gross.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, porta potties are like, you know, hold your breath in and out.
When people run across the top.
Imagine that. It was an earthquake.
I had sex in a war zone. In the bathroom at a war zone.
How long did it last?
I mean, I honestly, like 5-10 minutes. It was
10. No, that's what I mean, though. Being in a previous porta potty for 10 minutes is like, I usually like,
get into there, piss, and get out.
You got to be doing heavy breathing.
Yeah,
you're breathing. You know, you're taking in. You started COVID. Holy shit. Sex and the pregnancy. That's a great bucket list check that you got. That's a nice notch on the belt. But yeah, Bordy Barn, I can't imagine like another summer of no Sundays and no, you know, no nothing. But man, there's just like, there's a zillion fucking restaurants and bars on the list that just can't do this for much longer. Mm. Like a lot of people have planned. I mean, they always said there was a second wave coming and people always did say, well, when indoor dining stops, or when outdoor dining is not a possibility because of the winter, like, what are you going to do? So like, you know, we should have known this was coming, but now that it's here, it's particularly like, what the fuck, man? So, donate to the Barstool Fund if you are a bar that wants help. I think it's Barstool Fund at barstoolsports.com. Can you double check that? I don't know. It's probably not the Barstool Fund, but we'll confirm that in a second. You have to have kept your payroll open like all this time. And if you meet the, you know, standards and qualifications, I think you got to tell us your backstory. And because unfortunately there is some level of like, these guys deserve it more than these guys, which sucks, but you know, you can't help absolutely everybody. So you got to make your case. And Dave and Barstool will do their best to, you know, keep your doors open. And like I said, like the Barstool Fund is very ambitious. I hope we can keep up with it. But I hope more importantly that it, like, you know, if Barstool can create some sort of bailout fund, I think the fucking United States government maybe can. Maybe there'll be some more help along the way.
Stunning.
Maybe
stuff.
The cavalry's coming. $600 is fucking insanity.
$600. Spit.
When you know that, like, they've just, like, print money in other times. Yeah. It's like, oh, there's another $1 trillion because of the war. It's like, just fucking do that one time, you know? So Barstool Fund. Is that the email, Nick?
Yeah. Barstool Fund at barstoolsports.com. You could go to barstoolsports.com/fund.
And that's where if you want to donate, do that. And that's where, you know, because that's really what it's going to take is kind of crowdsourcing this whole thing. So I'm sure you've got your top five bars that you don't want closing. We all do. So donate and contribute. And let's do our voicemails now. They're brought to you today.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Let's do it. Last voicemails of the year.
Great. Hey, guys. I'll keep this short and sweet, unlike most of your voicemails. After I was done blowing my man the other day, the first thing he said was, my quads hurt because he had run earlier in the day. And I thought, Jesus Christ, what a stupid fucking thing to say. So I was just wondering, what is the stupidest thing you could think to possibly say after someone's blown you? love you guys. Rockin'.
I mean, my quads hurt is not great, but it's also like, what did Marty say that one time? Marty was getting blown that one time, and he said, "What do you think of my neck beard?" Right?
I don't recall that.
Yeah,
no.
He said something.
I remember that. Ugh.
You do remember that, right?
Yeah.
He had a neck beard at the time. He was self-conscious about her, like looking up at it, and he said, "Like, so what do you think of my neck beard?" I think like his cum was in her mouth, and it was like, "What do you think of my beard?" That wasn't good. That was not great.
I mean, that is also the answer.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you know, it's a weird thing. Like, I think there's been jokes about this on, like, on TV and movies and shit. It's not the right thing to say. I'm sorry if I'm turning down your volume, John.
You are.
Okay. I'll just leave it. I feel like sometimes, thank you, is an appropriate thing to say. It's not. It's not hot. It's not sexy. You shouldn't. But when someone goes to work on you, nowadays, like we described with the way the world has gone with porn and sex, like when a girl gives you really good head, it's like, oh my God, you like degraded yourself.
You should go to church.
Yeah. So I want to be like, thank you so much for doing that to yourself. So I think you should say thank you, but I know it's not right. I don't know. I think this is why so many times guys will be like, that's the best I've ever had, because they're just like, I got to like say something complimentary. And I think in the moment, it's like when you're getting head, you're like, as long as it's pretty good, you're like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
So you are feeling like this is the best stuff. It's recency bias, but I don't know if there's anything like to say. I don't know.
I don't know. What he said, my quads hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't like, what does that mean? Like, you're so
he
good
said he had gone. No, he had gone for a run earlier. He was just sore.
Oh.
He was just like making conversation.
Because I'll tell you what, I have had my quads hurt afterwards.
After getting head?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you know, like you're kind of like you're locked up, like your legs.
Oh,
are, like,
yeah.
That was. I think we do a lot of times where we're like, oh, that's when you first felt old. I think the worst I've ever felt about myself and my future is probably. Like the first time, because it happened a lot of times since. Probably the first time I stopped jerking off because I was just like, I am too, my legs are too sore.
You tapped out.
And I'm sweating too much. It is.
When did this happen?
I can tell you where it was. It was on my couch.
No, that's okay. Just when.
I don't know when. So it was within the last 4 years because I was on my couch in my old apartment.
Wow.
And I was just like, this is.
Just not going to
abort mission, baby. Yeah. This one, I guess if I believed in blue balls, I gave myself blue balls, but I was like, my quads were too tense. And it was like the last minute of a hockey game. Like, we had a goalie pull, and I was like, you got to dig deep, baby. Come on.
Get there.
This is what we do all the conditioning for.
Get your eyes closed.
This is why we do those suicides. This is why we do Hermes. Come on! I lost.
Tapped out. The buzzer sounded. You know, you didn't score that final goal. You lose. Man, that's bad. Too tired and broken to jerk off is.
And then, but then, like, I and you've never had it either. Like, God, I'm.
No, listen.
Saying a lot of things today.
No, I mean, I've definitely tapped out on myself before.
You've never been like on a Tuesday and like, why am I so sore?
From your arm?
And you're like, oh, I was hungover on Sunday, so I beat it like six times.
I can pretty much confidently say I've never been. I have had my arm sore from giving, never to myself.
Definitely. Without a doubt.
Dude, I'm getting old. Like, so like, I mean, sex is a production, and like afterwards, I'm creaking and cracking. I like, I'll be in bed, I finish up, and I'm like, I'm doing one of these. I'm like stretching the Charlie horse out, you know. And these are big, like, demonstrative moves. I'm like,
yeah, I'm not trying to be subtle about it.
No, I'm just like, I gotta, you know. And it's always, it always kind of gets like a smirk or a laugh. Or it's like, oh, you're old, huh? I'm like, yeah, bitch.
Before sex, you can catch me in the outfield like a fat first baseman, just like with this thing. I can't do it. I'm gonna do it over here.
Doing the skip thingy, doing the leg over the side, where you lay on your back, you throw one leg over the side, your arms and legs are sprawled out. Dude, I stand there in the outfield, I'm like Bartolo, get my arms up and out. I'm just trying to get loose, just trying to stretch it out, baby. Just get the whole. I need, you know, like, you know when they say, you know, you got to take your warm up seriously, you get your heart rate up, get a baseline. Like, that's, I gotta warm this. I will tell you, you know, the oldest I feel is like. I am like a 1992 Toyota Camry with 250,000 miles on it that will get you there. We'll get to point B, but we got to – it takes a while to get humming. You know, like I'm like in the Karate Kid in the beginning of the movie where they're pushing the car, and then she's like, pop it, and he pops the clutch, and then they hop in and go. Gone are the days, bro. Anybody who ever tries to have sex with me again, gone are the days of like spontaneous, like push me up against the wall and my dick's like right away hard. We're going to fuck. I'm like, okay, we can now go to the bedroom where we will have to like do heavy foreplay for a little while before this gets going. Dude. Spontaneous sex is gone.
No, the only time spontaneous is when my dick decides. It's like, right. Hey, let's not waste this one, huh?
Yes. Oh, you know what happened to me? I literally used this word.
You horny? No, better get it.
I used this phrase verbatim the other day. I had ordered food. It was on the way. It was like, it was about to go down though. And I'm like looking at the delivery and I'm like, can I kind of fit it in before the delivery comes? Alas, I could not. So I got to like do the waistband tuck, flip it up into my waistband. I go downstairs, I get the food.
Wait, so you were mid coitus?
I was mid like foreplay.
Okay.
And it was getting there. And I ran downstairs, get the food, run back up, and now I've got like a three quarters, you know? But I'm trending the wrong way. And we like try to re-spark it, and it didn't work. And I said flat out, I'm like a veteran relief pitcher. You can't get me up and down like that. I said that straight up. I was like, you know, you wore me up in the sixth and you should have waited till the eighth. Like, and you can't be like Joe Girardi. You can't just be getting me up and down like that. And it got a good laugh, but I was like, but it's true.
But it's all good.
So if I've got it, we got to use it. And if I lose it, it's going to take a while to get it back.
I like,
fuck, getting old sucks.
I like the comparison to the car. Cause like you said, like it takes a while to go. And also when you show up somewhere, your friends will go, that's what you're driving, huh? And you go,
yeah.
It's actually better than you think. I know it doesn't look like much, but it's actually...
But you know, it's mine. It fits me. It's great for me. God damn it. So anyway, I don't know. What am I saying after a blowjob? I'm saying, ow, fuck. This hurts.
I'm saying... all the wrong things.
Yeah, all of
the
wrong
things. I'm saying something that makes you never want to do it.
But also just know that that is like the moment where, you know, it's cliche. Like our brains are broken in that moment. We can't be held responsible for what we said.
Agreed.
Hey, what's up, KFC Fights, Nick, whoever else is producing this. So I've been dating a girl for a year and a half. But past couple months, shit's definitely been going downhill because she's like long distance and doesn't have any plans of changing that and politics. So basically I plan on breaking up with her eventually, but I'm not sure how long that would take because we're kind of got our lives intertwined by now and I'm not sure how easy it is to like separate that. But my buddy just told me about a New Year's Eve party that's going to have a lot of very fine women. And my thought process is, why prolong the inevitable?
What is he saying?
He goes on to say, like, he could go get laid at the party.
Yeah. He's not wrong when you're saying prolong the inevitable. If you know it's a wrap, you probably should call it a
what day. What was the politics?
He
never brought that back up.
I think that probably means that, you know, we've heard stories of this over like the past four years. Or so you know that, like, hey, we thought it was going to work. She ended up being way more liberal than I am, conservative. Yeah. So I know it's not going to work. I do believe you should, like, not prolong it too much. I think that there's an appropriate time, like – I think one went viral earlier this year, like someone was about to like give their dissertation at like graduate school and someone dumped them like that day. It's like, you know, you can plan around some, right. You know, hey, if her mom's funeral is this week, maybe wait, you know, but I think, yeah, if you know,
but
really
also
no...
I think all those things are like, there's always going to be something.
Oh,
else.
And so that's the other point, yeah. Is that like, so I think you should just do it. I don't think you should do it. This is like some like American Pie shit. Like, bro, it's going to be the party of the century. We're all going to get laid on New Year's. Like, there's going to be other times to get laid, bro. If you're going to like break off this year and a half relationship and break this girl's heart and try to wrap it up in the next 9 days or whatever, because there's going to be a party with chicks. Like, yeah, come on,
mighty
bro.
Fine women.
Yeah, mighty Yo, fine. This place is going to be crawling with pussy, bro.
If you really want to get laid, you can go get laid on a fucking Tuesday afternoon.
Right, it doesn't fucking have, now.
And
right
let me tell
like,
you something right now, friend. That party's going to fucking suck.
Yeah, absolutely.
That party
absolutely.
Is going to be the biggest letdown of your life since...
Always is.
Since the letdown you're about to give this girl, yeah. Like there's, it's never good, and it's cliche to be anti New Year's, but I am definitively anti. Now
the best New Year's can be is like it was good. It was like, you know, it wasn't too much. You know, what I mean?
Like
it wasn't
house
a problem.
So I guess I guess maybe that's what this is this year. I've never had a good time at a bar on New Year's.
Yeah,
I haven't had
also,
a good time at like.
Is this like house party going to turn into this like fuck fest? Is it like the Showtime Lakers? Like at the stroke of midnight, everyone's paired off fucking somewhere. Be like, it'll be a party. It'll be all right, but it ain't going to be what you think it's going to be, and it ain't worth rushing a fucking breakup over it. All right, so relax. Last voicemail of 2020.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Let's finish with a bang, boys.
What's going on, KFC Fights and the rest of the crew? I've been listening to you guys for years now. I think you go together like peanut butter and jelly, salt and pepper. You guys are awesome together. I know you guys spend a lot of time listening to each other, hours and hours and hours. I think you guys said the person you've listened to most since leaving your parents were probably each other. So I'm wondering, can you guys do your best impersonations of each other and go for a few minutes? And I want to hear what KFC sounds like as Feidelberg and what Feidelberg sounds like as KFC.
This
all right,
is
guys.
Be super
have a good
insulting.
One.
Like, it's because what we're going to do is we're just going to say the stereotypical things that each other say.
Yeah.
And when you just say exactly what someone does,
it hurts.
It's mean.
It hurts. I don't know. Oh, man, see, I'm trying to think of like, I don't know if I can do it, but like 4 o'clock John, when he gets going, he does this thing where you're like laughing and talking at the same time where you were like, you know, you said something like, you're like, what did you say to that fucking TikTok kid? You were like, I'm the ghost of Christmas future. You're gonna wrap a Porsche around a tree at fucking 290 miles an hour. Like, you're laughing. Your face is red and you're spitting it out, like trying to get out the laughs while you're talking. That 4 o'clock John is on one. You'll also do this thing where you go like, yep, that's about right. Like, yeah, well, I'm not even going to be alive. I'm going to kill myself then. So,
He said we had a Friday night plan today. You're like, by the way, I'm on this 2028. It's like, oh, I'll be long dead.
The most genuine. That's another one too. Like, nah, blah, blah. A lot of that. Like, blah, 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 blah.
You're just describing an old Irishman.
Yeah, that you did it right there. You just did it right there. You're
describing an old Irishman.
And then he leaves. He doesn't know that. Oh man, it's great. It's the laughter, John. It all comes around the laughter, though. Everything I said there,
just
start laughing and talking.
You're like literally just describing the old man at an Irish bar. It was just like,
but a happy one.
But yeah.
The laughter's there. That's a hard. Like I wish we should get like Joey Molinaro's. Like I would love to know how to zero in on these things, because you definitely have like personality traits about you.
Yeah.
I just can't like pinpoint them, or you know, I mean, we probably each got a million of them.
Right.
But that, when you're really roasting someone and you start laughing, it's and the laughter's more like, you know, because it's the truth.
Yeah.
It is. You know the real deal.
I think if I had to do yours, I would
yell loud.
This is it, John. I mean, this is how does this always happen to me? What is it? What? Every single day, John. It's the worst. It's absolute. I got the Jets. I got the Mets. I got my fucking kids. I got my car is broken down.
All right, we're good. Stop. That's enough. You did it right. Point taken. Impression. Mission accomplished, John. I get it.
That was good. That was good.
Well, that's actually very apropos that we ended on that voicemail, because the last segment we're going to do of the year here is actually us listening back to us. So this is from the first podcast we did of 2020, as we wrap up with the last podcast of 2020, to see what, you know, what we said and what we thought and how and where our minds were at on. What is, so was this like probably January?
It was actually week? December 31st that
dropped. Okay.
But actually earlier in the episode, we won't go back that far. John, you did say you thought Brady was going to leave the Patriots, and you said it seemed like it was starting to kind of unravel.
Oh, you knew.
Yeah, I had that one there.
Death by 1,000 fucking boilings in a thing.
It is, but it's like it's 2020. We're gonna be happy boys, bro. No more sad boy. We're gonna be happy boy, John. You're a conversationalist, man. You knocked it out of the park. I'll be honest. I said that for 2019. That 2019 was mental health year. I fell short. 2020 it is, baby. No, you know what 2019 was? I feel like 2019 was mental health year in what you just said earlier in the podcast. You're acutely aware of the problems. You just fix them. So 2019 was becoming fully aware of all your shortcomings and problems. 2020 is going to be, we're going to put into action. We're going to fix those problems.
Okay. I like that.
That 2020. So basically what I'm saying is 2020 is the year of therapy.
I got my guy. I just haven't seen
him. I am 100% going to full-blown therapy in 2020. I promise you that.
Yep.
It has reached an absolute breaking point where I was such a wreck during the holidays. It's almost like I said, to wrap things up, to bring it back to the beginning, the Patriots, like if you're going to be bad, I'd rather like bottom out so that I have this new perception. That was the holidays. I was such a fucking wreck that I started like laughing at one point. Every movie I saw, all the emotional moments, somehow I'm relating myself.
This holiday season, I'm good.
Yeah.
Last year, like Thanksgiving, I was crying. I mean, like every holiday thing, I was such a mess. Like, oh, I'm divorced and the kids. And this year, it's not great. You know, it's always weird. Like, but I'm like, okay, this is life. Time really heals all wounds.
Burn his house down.
I do love that I said we were going to be happy boys, and then quite literally the sad boy season was launched this year. Like, and made so much money. Like, that was depressing how much of a success that clothing company is. Like, let's make suicide clothes. And everyone's like,
yeah.
buy it, bonuses, merch, yeah. Like, holy shit. Yeah, there was a lot of hope. I did not go to therapy. I have to go this year.
I did.
2021 has to. I mean, I do a little bit of, I need to like find a guy and go Because you're kind of coming out the other side where you're like, it's fine, but you did gain some things from it. I promise you that. I need to
kind of. But the reason
he goes,
I don't think
it's fine. Like he's talking about like a B movie. It's fine. Was it worth the ticket? You know what you just said about therapy? Catch it on demand. Don't go to the theaters. Just get it on demand.
What I don't understand, what I think therapy is, and it's just something I don't care about, is like finding the root of all these things.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
care right, why I right. feel or why.
Well,
I think
the
way.
Idea is you find the root to fix it, but.
Well, yeah, but it's like, but I think people like leave them like, that's why I'm like, yeah, I don't give yeah. a shit why I'm like this. I'm just like this.
Well, also, I think you got to be kind of stupid if you don't know why you're like this.
Right.
You know, it's like my parents fight, like my parents stayed together but fought a lot, and like we don't express our emotions that well, and I like suppress my. I can tell you why I'm the way I am.
Yeah,
I think,
yeah.
you know, you don't have a lot of self awareness if you can't figure that out.
Right.
So it's like, I think it's about. What therapy will be for me? I'm like, how do you fix it? I don't care about how, like where, why. Yeah, I can't
write
like,
the
fix.
Prescription. Well, yeah. Like, all right, this
get
is
the gonna, pad out.
This
do
is
a little
take
scribbly thing.
Years of work. Well, I heard a prescription takes about 30 seconds to write. So, bring
Let's
it up.
Go. All right, so that's it for 2020, huh? 2021 coming in hot.
Do you want to make predictions for this year?
Yeah, I was going to say I will predict Specials. That 2021 will be the biggest year. Of the KFC radio franchise.
Agreed.
It will be the biggest monetary year. It will be the biggest output of content year. There will be live shows. There will be spinoffs. There will be video content, audio content. There will be, I mean, we're going to do it all this year.
We're going to have 3 YouTube channels tomorrow.
3 YouTube channels.
So
yeah, that I'll say that now. A little. Yeah. There will be a full explanation of this on Mail Time on Wednesday. But today, I'll tell you, so tomorrow's Mail Time is the last Mail Time ever, and I'm rebranding that as the Kevin Clancy Show, and I'll explain why that's all happening and how that show's going to work. Nothing major, though, so it's not going away or anything. Don't get worried. But so we'll have, like, 3 YouTube channels with all those shows. We'll be doing what I'm hoping will be, like, 1 live show, digital live show per month. If we can get on stage, maybe we'll go back to doing some in-person live shows. We've got One Thing I've Learned. We've got Behind the Blog. We've got Making a Gambler. We've got, I think, a few other podcast ideas to spin off into full-blown new shows.
We settled on one.
Settled on one?
Yeah.
So you've got one. I think I've got one. Merch, I think, will be bigger than ever. I feel like we just like know what we're doing with merch more than ever, and it's just like every fucking month we'll be dropping more. I just think... We're veterans of the game at this point. You know what I mean?
We only got till 2028. Got to figure it out now.
Seriously, the clock's ticking. 2028. I'm logging off the internet. That's it. I don't want to be Trisha Paytas. Okay, I'm done. I don't want to have to put lamps in my asshole at some point. I'm gonna just make as much as I can. And at 2028, I'll have a mental breakdown, kill myself, or retire. One or the other. So, clock is ticking. I think it's gonna be a big year for us.
Peace. See you in 2021.
I've got some issues that nobody can see, and all of these emotions are pouring out of me. I bring them to the light in you. It's only right. This is the soundtrack to my life. The soundtrack to my life. 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 Yeah, uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh, yeah, no.